When it comes to a contentious discussion with scribes and Pharisees, Jesus' favorite line of the gospel is, "No one dared ask him any more questions." He's done. Done for the day. Done for the day. That's not true, of course, when we come to the Lord with questions, though. Our sincerity of heart is something that he sees right away. The second reading here talks about Jesus as intercessor, and I want to dwell on that a little bit and repeat this same theme that I've preached on before, because I think it's really important that Jesus as intercessor is a really key thing for us to get and understand. Brothers and sisters, the Levitical priests were many because they were prevented by death from remaining in office, but Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. Therefore, he is able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. So Jesus' priesthood does not pass away. He lives forever to make intercession for those who approach God through him. And the acknowledging Jesus as God and that he leads us to God the Father is the basic message of the gospel. That's what Jesus came to do. Also, that role of the priest, you know, what does a priest do? What does an intercessor do? A priest offers sacrifice, all right? Jesus offers sacrifice. We have this. It is fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners. He has no need, as did the high priest, to offer sacrifice first for his own sins and then for those of the people day after day. He did that once for all when he offered himself. Where did he offer himself once for all? On the cross. Is that sacrifice still happening? This is a trick question. Is that sacrifice still happening? Let me ask it differently. So there are two things about when a priest offers a sacrifice. Is Jesus still dying on the cross? No, he's not. Okay, a lot of you said no, thank you. A few of you, I heard some yeses too. That's okay. That's okay. You were a heretic when you walked in, and look how important this preaching is. You're going to walk away with the right, okay. Jesus is not still on the cross, okay? Now, Paul preached Christ crucified, and so do we. We're not shying away from that, okay? It is kind of a key moment, okay? But he's not on the cross right now, okay? Jesus was dying, and then he died, okay? He finished dying once he was dead, okay? That's how that works. And then he rose again, and he is alive. He is alive, and he's not on a cross, okay? Just to clarify. Because this is very clear here. Where is he? At the right hand of the Father in heaven. He ascended into heaven, and he is interceding for us. That's sort of where he is. Now, we also know that he is present in his people. He is with us, always. He says, "I'm with you always to the end of the age," okay? So when a priest offers a sacrifice, there is an immolation and an oblation. The immolation is the death of the victim. Let's say a Levitical priest is offering a Passover lamb. The immolation is when he slaughters that lamb. The lamb has to be slain. Okay, it has to die. And the priest immolates the lamb, kills the lamb. Okay, and then the priest offers the lamb to God. It's offered as a sacrifice. That's the oblation part. That's the offering part. That part, okay, that part, is Jesus still doing the offering part? Is he offering, is he seated at the right hand of the Father? What is he doing? Interceding for us. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. He has a priest. Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood that does not pass away. That offering continues. The immolation is done. That happened. It's over. It's done. But Jesus is, he's pleading to the Father on our behalf. Anyone who approaches God through Jesus has this confidence, right? We approach Jesus as God and that he leads us to the Father, and we have this confidence in him. And we should not approach God through anyone else, because there's no one else. Jesus is the mediator between God and man, and that's what it means. That's what this means. This is a different scripture, but there is a sole mediator between God and man. There's no other name under heaven by which we can approach God the Father and ask for mercy. And if we call Jesus by any other, if we don't acknowledge Jesus as God, we've missed who he is, right? So we want to approach Jesus as this one who we can come to, and he does what a priest does. He speaks to the people on behalf of God. That's what he did when he came to earth. He shows us the Father, shows us what he's like. If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. Okay. And he also speaks to God on behalf of the people. Right? He speaks to the Father, have mercy, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. From the cross, he spoke those words because he wants mercy, right? That's his whole mission, okay? So Jesus, as the priest and as the intercessor, is this mediator between God and man. He himself is both God and man, which is why he can be the mediator. Remember, this is kind of a side point here, but this is why Mary, Mother of God, is such an important feast day, because Jesus is fully God and fully man in one person. And that's why he is the mediator. That's why he is the true priest, the only real priest, okay? But, okay, in some sense, we talk about other people being priests, okay? Jesus has already offered the perfect sacrifice to the Father once for all, but his priesthood remains forever. And we, through our baptism, are called to be a priestly people, to be baptized into Christ and do what he does. To do what he does. You are a priest of Jesus Christ in the baptismal sense, right? Priest, prophet, and king. We have had a lot of baptisms at Mass lately, and I think it's important to do it enough times that you hear those. Some of the words I think are important. One of them is after, is it right after the baby's baptized or right before? It's the words, anoint you with oil of chrism as priest, prophet, and king. Like, in Christ, your priest, prophet, and king unto eternal life, okay? And that's you, if you're baptized, okay? That you have this priestly role of offering worship to God, and also of offering intercession for sinners, right? We are all sinners, and this is why the Chaplet of Divine Mercy is such a powerful way to intercede, because for the sake of his sorrowful passion, okay, we're talking to God the Father, right? How many of you know the Chaplet of Divine Mercy? Like, you pray it, you know it. Okay. And there's a lot of hands that are not up too. That's great. So the Divine Mercy Chaplet, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Well, what made atonement for those? The passion of Jesus Christ, okay? Do we stop interceding for sinners because that's done? It's offered once for all and it's finished? No. No, that's our cause for hope and our cause for, we preach that. We still have to preach that. We still have to, and ask the Father for mercy for that. We have to trust in that. We have to put our faith in Jesus. So as you're called to intercede, okay, just to clarify the homily, part one was Jesus is the intercessor and the priest. We're just starting into part two, okay? You are supposed to do what Jesus does because you're baptized into Christ as priest, prophet, and king. How do you do that? Well, intercessory prayer is one of those ways. And just to review, intercessory prayer is what kind of prayer? It's prayer for others. You're going to God on behalf of someone else. That's what a priest does, okay? That's what a priestly people does. And so you're saying in the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, as you're stepping into your baptismal priesthood and interceding for someone, for a relationship, for a situation, for the country, for unity, for whatever it might be, you're saying to God the Father, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, there's an acknowledgement of our own, like in the church, in my parish, myself, my family, the Catholics, you know, and those of the whole world, and all the people who aren't part of the church yet, right? We're acknowledging all of that. Okay. What made atonement for all of that? The death and resurrection of Jesus. Okay. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. There's a have mercy on us and on the whole world. We need mercy ourselves as believers, and also we're asking your mercy on those who are not yet. They need your mercy, and we're hoping that they get it. I'm not excluding myself from being a sinner, and I'm not excluding the rest of the world from praying for mercy, okay? And this is really important to do. I mean, this specific prayer, there's different prayers you can pray. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy is the most priestly-sounding prayer, I think. One of the more priestly-sounding prayers. It's so explicitly offered in this way that I think it's really powerful, and it really helps us focus on where does our hope come from? Where does salvation come from? How do we, when we pray for sinners, what are we doing? And we're saying, well, because of the death of Jesus on the cross and because of his resurrection, Father, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And you might intercede. And now what I do a lot of the times when I'm interceding for people is I'll put somebody's name in between there, you know, for so-and-so. Sometimes I do that with the rosary as well, for so-and-so. You know, and for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Or even I put their name in the prayer too. You can't, you don't want to do that necessarily if you're praying in a group, but it's not a liturgy, so you can add some things into it. The need and the importance for intercession is just, it's not something that just like professional prayer people are supposed to do. Every day, absolutely all of us, every day, Catholics, yeah, we're supposed to pray for others. I specifically like to mention you should pray for situations when you're anxious, because to be honest, you have to do something about it anyway. Worrying about it doesn't help you find peace. Praying about it does. You might as well pray. Might as well use your priesthood. Don't waste it. Say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to offer myself to the Lord right now with some prayer for this situation. Second category, people you need to forgive, despise, don't like, they don't like you. They deserve for you to despise them. Okay? Maybe they don't, but you think, it feels like they do. Okay? Pray for them. You have to do something with that anyway. You can do something that will harm your soul, or you can do something that will help you and them receive God's mercy. You can do something that will help you to forgive them. Might as well do it. You have to do something with those anyway. And then a third category are things that where you could avoid. You don't have to do anything with them. But this third category is kind of like everything else, but areas where you may be called to bring God's kingdom to a new area, like somebody at work, your whole coworker, like cohort maybe, or just a bunch of situations that are possible where you want to see God's kingdom advance, or he wants to see it advance, you need to pray for that. As I like to say, intercessory prayer is the artillery of the spiritual battle. Okay? It's the artillery of the spiritual battle. To all the men, you're welcome for this analogy. Or women, if you think like me too, that you're welcome as well. We have to get on the artillery, and we have to throw some artillery shells downrange into the face of the evil one and all of the designs of the evil one, into the face of our human weakness, our flesh, all of the things where God's kingdom really is not advancing, and you see, man, I don't see any change here. Well, have you done intercessory prayer for that? And if so, how long have you persevered in that? Have you been fasting and praying? All these things are necessary for us as priests, as a priestly people, to be praying and joining ourselves to Jesus and saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I'm praying for breakthrough. You know, in some cases, I actually think you should just do this as part of your prayer time. Part of it should be dedicated to things that you want to intercede for, okay? And some of it should be, Lord, I've prayed for what is on my heart. Now, what is on yours? And if something comes to mind, if God puts something on your mind, pray for that. Like, that's what people do when they love each other. What do you need prayer for? Now, Jesus doesn't need prayer, okay? But he invites you into this into this role, into this, into participation in his, saving of the world. And that's what we're doing. If you're not here to do that, well, I don't want to say you're in the wrong place, because you're 100% in the right place. But Jesus wants you to know that's why he's called you to follow him. Like, that's why you're here as a disciple of Christ. Now, of course, we follow Jesus first for ourselves, because we all need a Savior too, right? There is, outside of the church, this little binder. It says prayer intentions. Now, we already have the email that you can send your prayer intentions into that, and you can keep doing that. Just sometimes, for some of us, out of sight, out of mind, you don't think about it, and that puts it right there in front of you to bring a prayer intention. Now, if you write that down if you write your intentions down in that book, there's going to be some more people interceding for it. But I also want you to remember that there's a list that goes out, and you can get that list, and you can be interceding for others as well. It's a reminder to come into Mass as well with an intention. In all of this, the Lord Jesus wants us to remember who he is, to always approach him as God, and through him we can approach the Father. Without him, we cannot. But the fact that he's the sole mediator between God and man does not mean that you aren't called to be a mediator to Jesus, right? To bring people to him. He needs people to preach the gospel in order for anyone to know what it is and know what it means. He needs people to have a heart of intercession, a heart of love for those who are lost or have wronged you. Again, if you have to forgive someone, you have a very powerful place in intercession in their lives. If you're praying for someone who has wronged you, your prayers are extra powerful. They just are. Because that's the heart of Jesus Christ. That's his love for us. That's what he did from the cross. And so there's no more powerful prayer than that. There's no more powerful love than that. The Lord is inviting us to step into that role that we have and to really offer ourselves to the Lord in prayer. And it is an offering. It is an offering. You know, you're going to sacrifice time. You're going to sacrifice something you really wanted to do. Why? So you can pray. You can intercede. But you're joining your prayer to the intercession of Jesus and trusting yourself to him, because he is right now at the right hand of the Father because he loves you. He's there because he loves each and every one of us. And as you enter into more to receiving that for yourself, you're also called to help others to him as well. Just like the people who, probably the best image of intercession in Scripture is the man who was paralyzed and they ripped a hole in the roof and lowered him down through the roof to Jesus, right? That's like what intercessory prayer does. There's just this unstoppable love for someone else and an unstoppable faith in who Jesus is. And you're just praying that they would be able to meet each other.